Up ahead, we have the college football preheated oven.
Mm-hmm.
The pig pen will be at 5:50. Community quick hits. Comes up in about an hour from now, but right now, somehow, this seems incredible now, given what all's happened. But at the time, as I recall, it was fairly easily done. There was a show that had been out about, what, one year?
Two seasons.
One and a half seasons. I think we picked him up in the middle of season two, right?
Yeah.
Is when we had him on.
Called Breaking Bad on AMC. That was starting to get a little bit of buzz. I'd been on it from night one because, you know, AMC's first.
Mad Men.
Yeah. AMC's first foray into that type of programming was Mad Men. And I really liked it, so I figured I would give their second a shot. Anyway, Bryan Cranston, somehow we were able to get him on the air with us in midway through the second season, and we did an interview with him. Let's listen to this, which took place in
2009.
Yeah.
1962.
2009 from Fort Worth Cats Park.
Yes, LaGrave Field.
LaGrave Field,
now
yes.
Keep in mind, this is a cassette recording from our dear P1 sweetheart of a friend, LaDonna, that she recorded off of her stereo.
Right.
So on AM.
So quality,
wow.
Quality may not be what you would ordinarily want.
It's
but
good enough.
Let's listen.
All right, on our phone now, Grego, we are joined by the...
Why did you do that right out of the chute?
What?
It's already confusing enough to this poor son of a bitch of a guy who he's talking to, and then he's like, wait a minute, there's a Grego on there too?
Gee, I'm sorry I don't handle interviews
all right,
like
on
you.
On our phone now, Grego, we are joined by the well-known actor, Bryan Cranston, the star of our favorite television drama of the season.
You just can't remember the name.
Yeah, it is the greatest of Breaking Bad. It is on AMC.
Star of the paper is here somewhere with the...
No, see, he's just nervous, Brian.
I am.
He's nervous talking to you. He was like, we were in the break, and he was like, God, I hope I call him by his right name. We talk about your show every week, so
did
this is...
Really?
Oh, dude, this is nothing new. Yeah, we're fairly obsessed with your television program.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Well,
I
it is
that term lightly.
You should. It is some awesome stuff that you guys turn out week in, week out on AMC. You've got the season finale coming up this weekend. Now, I was a fan of it during the first season, and these other boys have just kind of caught up along the way here. You got into it, what, a couple weeks in?
Before season two started, I was given a DVD of the first season, and I watched one episode, and that's when I came on the air and said I had a television epiphany, where it took me one episode where I hadn't been that hooked on a show since The Shield, so...
Thank you, man.
Yeah, it's great, and I think everybody, you know, on our show watches it, and we're all kind of obsessed with for different reasons. But for you, as an actor, whenever you got this script, were you like, oh my God, this has everything?
That's exactly right. When I first read the pilot script of Breaking Bad, I immediately called my agent and I said, get me in there fast, because I knew that as soon as other actors would read this, they would say the same thing. It was just a remarkable piece of writing that allowed the viewer to go on this compelling ride and relate to this man who's basically good, but he makes stupid mistakes. I think every guy can relate to that. And, you know, he's a good guy, but he wants to do something for his family before he kicks. And so the setup is very relatable, and I just really got this man. I know this man. He was depressed and from missed opportunities in his life, and the irony is that he's felt more alive since he started this road of lawlessness than he was for the past 25 years, and so he's conflicted about what to do next.
And for all of those reasons, I think that this might be the most conflicted character we've ever seen in any of these TV dramas, more so than Vic Mackey in The Shield, more so than Tony Soprano. more than any I can think of, because you're exactly right. He's a guy who is inherently good, but he's got a really, really bad situation on his hands, and he wants to do something good for those who are going to be around after he's gone, yet he goes about it in entirely the wrong way. And boy, I can only think of what, you know, that must be like for you as an actor to get to play a part like that.
It's really one of those things where they come around very infrequently. I was very lucky to have 7 years on Malcolm in the Middle, which was another great show. It was really well written and funny, and I had a great time on it. And I didn't realize that there was this laying there for me, because it's like being hit by lightning for an actor to get one hit show and then another one. I feel like Lee Trevino. Are you kidding me? I don't know that anyone has that right to be so lucky. So I'm very grateful. And you mentioned those two shows, you know, Sopranos and The Shield, and James Gandolfini and Michael Chiklis' roles on there really, you know, I owe them a debt of gratitude, because they sort of paved the way to sort of make it okay for networks to show very conflicted, not so clear-cut kind of characters that I think people are really responding to. Because, I mean, you look back and you go, well, look at Magnum P.I., you know? I mean, he was a great-looking guy. He got all the women. He, you know, he didn't drink too much. He was a nice guy. He got the bad guy in the end. And everything was, you know, nice, neat little package. It's just not believable. Right. That mm-hmm. kind of series would never fly now. And I think we're in a good place. So Breaking Bad is providing, you know, a type of show that's alternative. And we're not going to have a tremendous amount of viewers, because quite frankly it's too risky for a lot of people. A lot of people want their television predictable and comfortable, and that's not what Breaking Bad is all about.
Not at all. This, of course, Bryan Cranston. He is Walt White, the main character of the AMC drama Breaking Bad.
And Walt, you mentioned you know, we're talking about The Shield and the
Walt. I called him Walt.
You did. Well, he called you Hammer, so you're even.
And, Walt, I can't...
It's because Mike just did the reset.
Yeah, I know, but still, Walt!
What Breaking Bad is all about.
Not at all. This, of course, Bryan Cranston. He is Walt White, the main character of the AMC drama Breaking Bad.
And Walt, you mentioned, you know, we're talking about The Shield and The Sopranos. And for me, as a viewer, the reason that I was so obsessed with those shows and now your show, it's probably because I have a family of my own with a couple of little kids. And I think at the end of the day, for all three of those characters, you have to come home to a family atmosphere.
Right.
And you have to play that off. And you know, trying to imagine that scenario in my head is just, I mean, it's... The things if it was real life, the things that those people going home have to take home to their wife, to their kids, and try to act normal all the while knowing that, you know, you're dealing with a $1.2 million meth deal right around the corner. It's just got to be harrowing as hell.
It's a bit schizophrenic, isn't it? And he's trying to come to grips with that. He's trying to go back to who he was, but realizes he's way beyond that now. And it scares him, because he looks in the mirror and he really doesn't know who he is anymore. And that's why he chose to keep himself bald, despite the oncologist telling him, oh yeah, your hair's going to grow back and everything. But I think he feels that as long as he doesn't really recognize that man in the mirror, he can justify what he's doing. It's really a tough, ambiguous kind of thing to play, but it's awfully fun.
And did you have to go through some sort of, because you know, the first couple episodes of the first season, you know, you had the hair, and they always showed you in your skivvies, and
yeah, thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, you're kind of doughy, and now you're real streamlined, and you know, like you said, kind of evil looking with the bald head and everything. Did they tell you, like, look, you're gonna have to lose some weight here, and you're gonna have to gain a certain amount of weight, and then end up losing it here in the next few months? Was that part of the script?
No, it was part of my first conversation with Vince Gilligan, the writer producer of our show, and our initial meeting was scheduled for 20 minutes, and it lasted an hour and a half. And in that meeting, we exchange ideas of how he should look, what color hair he should have, what happens when he loses his hair. That I told him I should start out kind of chubby and doughy, and then I should lose a ton of weight because of the chemotherapy, and that has a side benefit of feeling streamlined and tougher and stronger and more manly. And then the bald head is more intimidating. And I mean, just things started popping on top of that. I even said, I want to, this man is, you know, to start out, he has glasses and he has his impotent little mustache, a pointless mustache that I designed. And I wanted it that way because I wanted him to look and appear that he gave up somewhere, that he just doesn't care about his appearance. And it is what it is. And then this transformation happens to this man. So we're going to see this character go from what began as a kind of a Mr. Chips, kind of a good guy, to becoming Scarface. He's going to become a kingpin of the underworld.
You know, for most of us...
Well, that's... I mean, we're not even done with season two yet,
I know.
And he's fully aware of all of that.
It's amazing that he foreshadowed that, and that probably just went in one ear and out the other with us at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Because of what was just in front of us with the show at hand, but gosh, it's when I loaded this, you know, or converted this digitally and had to listen to it in real time, it was like, ooh, gosh, he already knows.
This is weird listening to this, because I don't remember any of it. Nothing. Do you?
Very little.
Just remember having him on, and that's it.
Yeah.
The world of the methamphetamine cook and methamphetamine dealer is pretty far off the grid.
Yeah.
How did you get ready for that?
Well, the research that I did was focused on chemistry, being the high school chemistry teacher that was predetermined. So I spent a couple days with the head of the Department of Chemistry at the University of Southern California. I guess you guys in Texas know of USC.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I learned a tremendous amount because I hadn't had chemistry since high school. And I wasn't very good in it then because I was rebellious and I knew I wasn't going to need it. And, oh, I wish I had paid attention. It's a whole enormous world that I have to be re-indoctrinated to. And it's quite interesting, actually, now. So that's what I focused on. I didn't want to know about the drug world because my character didn't. I didn't want to know about cancer specifically because my character didn't. So I wanted to develop my knowledge as my character developed knowledge of it. So it was more organic that way.
So you stayed within the bounds of the chemistry teacher, and that was it as you were getting ready for this.
Yeah, yeah. That was what I wanted to focus on, and it was quite a learning curve for me. I'm still learning.
All right, so... All right, let's stop there. It's a good place to stop. We'll pick it up tomorrow at some point. But, man, that's fascinating to hear.
Boy, it really is.
Especially knowing how it all ends up. But
what a great interview he was, too.
Yeah, he was. Wide open.
I mean, this is taking me back to it. I think this is one of my favorite interviews that we've ever done.
I know, and, I mean, the subject matters. He's incredible. All right, let's take a break, come back. Let's college football starts tomorrow, and
it's time for the college football preheated oven.
The King Poobah speaks.